Hello, I'm Derek Conway, and welcome to Comment, Press TV's live political and world affairs show, where you get the chance to have your say on the latest events around the globe. This programme is broadcast live from London, but wherever you are in the world, we want to hear from you, and we'll even call you back so you won't have an expensive telephone bill and also to get a clear line. George Galloway can't be with you tonight, so please call me on +44 208 601 4555 or SMS on +44 78 00 00 8066, or you can email me at comment@presstv.co.uk. I want to hear what you have to say. Britain's state-funded BBC launched another attack on Press TV last night. ITV did the same. This time they're using Ken Livingstone as an excuse. Both channels needed to have an analyst to comment on Ken Livingstone and Press TV. So who did they use? The head of the Zionist Federation. What is Press TV doing that's getting them so wound up? Call me and let us know. As the government of Tunisia imploded and President Ben Ali fled the country, taking with him over £2.5 billion worth plus gold, the North African political climate darkened. Is Algeria steady as demonstrations take to the streets and food price riots? If you have a view on what these developments mean for the Maghreb, call me. Meanwhile, in London, Prime Minister Cameron has called upon former PM Tony Blair to publish his letters with President George Bush in 2002 in the Iraqi invasion build-up. The Chilcot inquiry into the then British government's policy on Iraq has asked for these to be made public, and Blair refuses. The row goes on, but what do you think he should do? Meanwhile, throughout Europe, economies stagger on. And in the UK, interest rates are set to soar this year, as has youth unemployment. Is the West too sick to recover? What's your take on it all? Call me. There's lots to talk about, so pick up the phone, send an SMS or an email. Could I just mention from the outset that any views I express are purely my own and not those of Press TV. This show is not scripted and is broadcast live, giving a voice to you. So call me now on +44 208 601 4555. And I look forward to hearing what you have to say. We may agree, we may not agree. Let's hear. I think we might have our first caller on the line. Is that Tony on the line?
Yes, speaking.
Tony, hello, welcome Derek. To Comment. Thank you for calling.
Yeah, compliments for the new season, Derek, to you and your family.
And to you. Where are you calling us from?
Wimbledon.
Wimbledon. What would you like to say to the viewers of Comment?
I'm going to be as brief, cut my delivery into three. First of all, Saudi Arabia is a friendly country as far as the United States is concerned, because Saudi Arabia has become a dumping ground for the use-by-sell-by date for U.S. weapons. Mm-hmm. Now, the reason £60 billion order will be obsolete weapons when it is finally delivered to the Saudi regime, while Israel will get free of charge, again on American taxpayers' courtesy, advanced U.S. weapons to kill Palestinians. Now, the family, autocratic dynasties, and medieval rulers and regimes in the Arabian Peninsula should be stringed to the nearest lamppost and replaced by an Iranian-type revolution, like we see what's happening in Tunisia, and spread right across and oust these dynasties, family dynasties, and replace this with a revolution which saw the ousting of the Shah, who was regarded as America's best friend in that part of the world. What do you think, Derek?
Well, Tony, I'm not sure I agree with you about stringing people up. I mean, I think I once met a dictator in Togo who'd personally garrotted his predecessor. He's dead now. But as a politician who had 25 years in Parliament, I'm not sure I approve of stringing up rulers. You might disagree with them, might even kick them out, and that's probably good for politicians. But I'm not sure I agree with you about stringing up. But certainly, you're right to highlight that, of course, Saudi Arabia does buy a lot of weaponry not only from the United States, but from Great Britain. And I suspect that's why both America and the UK are very keen to lecture countries on human rights, including Iran and other countries. They tend to be a bit more reticent about Saudi Arabia. And I think you're right. It's because they do so much business. I think the Tunisia thing is a different matter, because the Tunisian rights don't seem to be about religion or even about political philosophy. It's really about a fairly corrupt regime just ripping off the public too much. That seems to be the reports we're getting. But I don't know whether you agree with that or not.
Well, Saudi does buy weapons, but by the time these weapons are delivered, they're obsolete. Israel gets more sophisticated weaponry. And I'm sure the Americans laugh all the way to the bank when they get these orders from Saudi Arabia and people and countries like that, because it's one way in an area in which they can dump these obsolete weapons. I mean, and then they call them friends. There's no democracy in Saudi Arabia. I mean, I know really appalling stories what goes on over there, but the Americans seem to be tight-lipped about it. And yet when you had, that Polish leader, Wolenski, whatever, the Polish leader...
Wolenski, yeah. Yep.
Yes, Margaret Thatcher was quick to jump up and condemn the government out in Poland for suppressing him. But why aren't they standing up for the people of Tunisia?
Well, I think, Tony, what you're highlighting, though I don't personally agree with everything you say, I think the point you're making is a fair one, that some of the Western countries that like to lecture others, they cut and weave their cloth a bit depending on how trade is going. It's not politics is not a high-minded game by any stretch of the imagination. It's very practical and often a very dirty business. And I'm glad you had your chance to have your say, Tony, and I hope you'll come on the program another time. But meanwhile, we have Mohammed on the line from Nottingham, who wants to talk to us about Tunisia. Hello, Mohammed.
Hello, sir. Good evening to you.
Good evening to you. Thank you for calling comment. What would you like to say to our viewers?
Thank you very much. First of all, I would like to say thank you for bringing such a beautiful program, that it is very informative. People are learning. We are getting aware of what is happening around the world, all thanks to yourself and George Galloway. What I like to say about, there is a saying in Farsi, which is Persian, saying that let me say it in Farsi first, that har firone ra Musa ast, har Shah Khomeini ast. In every Firon's way, there is Musa. And every Shah's way, there is Khomeini. And hopefully, the rest of the Muslim world, especially the Arab world, learns from this Tunisian thing. And hopefully, the dictators, the Shahs, the kings, are really thinking about packing their bags and go to their masters. It is time. One thing I do like to know from you, sir, where is the religious leadership gone from Tunisia? And what has happened to them?
Yeah,
thank you very much.
Mohammed, thank you very much for your call. Again, this program is not about me agreeing or disagreeing with what you say. It's about you having the opportunity to say it. And that's one of the important things about a station like Press TV, which seems to be... They worry so much, the BBC and the ITV, and I tell you why. Because they're saying things that aren't on the script. They're giving people like you an opportunity to air your views, unscripted. And even though we don't necessarily agree with what you say, the important thing is it's a good forum. And as long as people stay polite to one another, then it's good to hear different views. So, Mohammed from Nottingham, I'm grateful for your call, and it's interesting to hear your take on Tunisia. I don't know why the things that are happening there are happening. It's going to be interesting to see what light some of our viewers tonight can shed on the events in the Maghreb. And we've got Khan on the line from London now, who wants to talk about what the attacks that have been launched on Ken Livingstone and Press TV in the last 24 hours. Hello, Khan.
Hello,
Khan. Thank you for calling. What would you like to say?
Yes, I'd like to say that the Zionist people are trying to criticize King Livingstone. I think, you see, the BBC is extremely biased in favor of Israel. For the last 2 weeks, Israel has started demolishing houses and hotels and everything, and killing people in Gaza. Almost 2-3 people are killed every day. There's not a single news on the BBC about all these atrocities that committed in there. So, you see, the Zionist people, they don't want the world to know anything about what Israel is doing in the Middle East or in the Palestine.
Ken, I think that the point you make is a fair one. Like Ken, I also chair the program Epilogue, and I've been doing that for 3 years, and I must let you into a little secret. Not once in those 3 years has anyone at the station ever said to me, Derek, say this, Derek, don't say that. I've had guests on the program who've been very pro-Israel and argued the Zionist cause very articulately. Those programs have been aired. And the program that attacked Ken Livingstone and Press TV yesterday on both BBC and ITV showed an extract from Epilogue where Ken had a guest on who was in favor of what Israel is doing, and he was arguing about criticizing Iran, praising Israel. And that program was still broadcast. If this station was as biased as the BBC liked to claim, that wouldn't have been shown. So I think, Khan, you have to be, you know, just, I think you're right to be a bit skeptical about what the BBC agenda is in all this. Whether they're attacking Ken or whether they're attacking Press TV, I know from personal experience now, based on 3 years, that they've got it quite wrong. So, Khan, thank you for calling. And we now have Adam on the line, who also wants to make a comment about what's been going on. Adam, hello. Adam, can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you, Derek.
Yeah, welcome to the show. What would you like to say?
Thank you very much. Derek, people like you, Ken Livingston, and George Galloway, and some other people are doing a wonderful job. If we have a platform like Press TV, whereby you can come on air to even attack Ahmadinejad, the president of Iran, whom supposedly is the founder of Press TV and paying bills, your TNT from your home to the station to air program, a useful program to the entire world, then I think you're doing a yeoman's job. I remember one of my friends was on BBC, a program on Africa, and he was airing his views on Mugabe, about Mugabe. He was taken out of the studios. He is from Zimbabwe. He knows what is happening in Zimbabwe. But he was invited by the BBC.
And they took him out of the studios?
Yes, thinking that he's coming to speak on behalf, speak for BBC, not knowing he has his different view.
Yeah.
So if a program, somebody is airing a program like what you do, Ken Livingston do at Press TV, and they do brand him as somebody who is taking money, he's taking what he's working, so he needs to take his pay.
Yeah.
And they said that it is a state-sponsored TV. That is
Adam, I must tell you, I've known Ken Livingstone for 25 years. We've served in the House of Commons together, and I've agreed with very little he said throughout that time, and I doubt he's agreed with much I've said. So we don't share a political philosophy. But I can tell you something. Although I don't agree with Ken's take on most things politically, I regard him as a very straight individual. And nobody's going to tell Ken what to say, not the Labour Party, not Press TV, none of the producers. He's very much his own man, although I don't always share his views. So
he's an independent man. He has his views. He does what he thinks is right, but not political expedient.
Yeah.
That is Ken for you. So what he is doing it for the interest of the people that are in support and what he is doing. But one thing is, I believe Ken, the problem that he has with the Jewish community, perceived to have had with the Jewish community, it is an agenda which is being embarked upon by BBC to pull him down. But people of this age are now beginning to realize the way some stations and some government supporters are doing. Look, Tony Blair took Britain to Iraq, and Tony Blair has made a lot of money on the effort he convinced and lied to the British people to take them to Iraq. He is a very important player for people to get contracts in Iraq. So do we say that Tony Blair is getting money from blood money?
I think, Adam, you make an interesting point. I mean, I know, for example, that, I mean, Ken doesn't attack the Jewish community. It's about what the state of Israel is doing. What is often said on some Press TV programs, what I've said on my book show, these are not attacks on the religion of Judaism. These are not attacks on Jewish people. They're attacks on how the state of Israel behaves against the people of Palestine. Unfortunately, stations like Press TV can air what's going on in Palestine. Otherwise, you wouldn't see much of it on the BBC. So it's about broadening the information people get. So I'm grateful to you, Adam, for calling, and I'll make sure Ken gets your message of support. He'd be very grateful for that. We now have to move on to Umsana, who's calling from Yorkshire, who wants to, I think, raise the Tunisian revolution. Hello, Umsana.
Good evening, Derek.
Good
How
evening.
Are you?
I'm very well, and thank you for coming on the show. What would you like to say?
Yeah, I would like to congratulate all the free, conscious people all around the world about the Tunisian revolution, because it's not only belonging to the Tunisian people only, but it is a good sign, a good, like, it's going to be like contamination, you know, virus all around the oppressed people, you know. Like, all the leaders are contaminated by dictatorship. They must know that all the people around the Arab world will be contaminated by the revolution, hopefully. And something else, if you don't mind, about the English, British media.
Yeah.
Saying the day after ex-dictator, hopefully, and hopefully soon we're going to get rid of all his followers. President Flees said the independent on the 15th.
Yeah.
President Flees as day of violent protests brings hunger nation to brink of revolution. It's not a revolution about bread or hunger, no. The guy who burnt himself, he had a pride. He was oppressed. He was a fruit and veg merchant, yeah. Ambulant merchant. And he burnt himself because he was oppressed. There's dictatorship all over the Tunisian institution, like the council or something like that. People always patronizing the Tunisian citizen, and it's same all over the Arab world.
Sana, I think...
I live here now.
Yeah. One thing I'd like to ask you, the young man you mentioned who set fire to himself and lost his life, and that sparked things off, it seems, he was, of course, a graduate, he was an IT specialist, so he was someone who had a good education but just couldn't get a job. Do you think the revolution we've seen in Tunisia was really about the economics? And, I mean, it seemed odd that, for example, the army just stood back, didn't it? So what do you make of that? That seemed to leave the president exposed. Once the military said, we're not going to back you, Mr. President, he was done for. Is that your take on it?
It's a accumulation of all things, like lack of freedom, dividing of media, corruption, stealing people's money, people's land, everything you cannot imagine happening there in Tunisia. And there's a president, a dictator, president, and his family all over the Arab world is the same scenario. Well, I wanted to say that the British media is misleading the readers. Like the Sun didn't mention anything, that Zionist newspaper, the Sun, it was like dead of jealousy, he didn't mention anything the day after that what happened about all the newspaper available, and Sam never mentioned anything. But I beg all the free people conscious in the in Europe to not to mislead like the readers and the viewers.
Well, Sana, it's very interesting to have your take. I don't know whether you personally have a background experience of Tunisia, whether you have family there, but it's interesting to hear your views on what is still an ongoing problem over there. It'll be fascinating to watch how it develops. We've got lots of calls. Thank you for coming on the show, Sana, but we've got lots of calls waiting, and we've also got a couple of emails that we'd like to take a look at, because I know people do enjoy our emails, so let's see what we've got. And this is coming from Lewis, who's emailed us from London, and he's saying, about their attack on your channel, this was the BBC and ITV, amazing, this is getting really creepy. What is wrong with the BBC? It's so obvious that this is a plan to silence their young, upcoming rival. Why are they so afraid of Press TV? It's so surreal. I'm getting interested, though. Well, Lewis, I've been involved in the media now for 30 years, and often what happens is one channel carries a story, the other channels monitor it, and they think, if it's interesting, they follow it up on a later bulletin or maybe the next day. What was interesting about this latest attack on Ken and on this station is that it happened in about the same time frame. That suggested to me that it wasn't accidental timing. I don't believe in coincidence much. So I'm glad you raised that email. It was interesting to hear your views. I think we've got another one coming up again. And where's this from? This is from Sean, who's calling from sunny Birmingham in the middle of the UK. I just checked out the BBC News video on Cairn and Press TV online. It makes me sick that they keep going on about Press being Press TV being funded by the Iranian government, which is worse. The Iranian government executes a few criminals a year, or the British government that has killed hundreds of thousands in its wars. I know who I'd rather work for, not the British government's BBC. Shame I'm forced to pay my poor 3.7% inflated money towards the BBC's license. Well, I think, again, Sean, I don't necessarily agree with the views that you express. You may not agree with my views, but I think the point you raise is the same. Yes, Press TV is funded by Iranian taxpayers, as the BBC is funded by British taxpayers. But I've had people on my shows who've attacked what's going on in Iran. They've attacked the president, and those things have still been broadcast. And the BBC, I think, should just look a bit more broadly at what Press TV is saying. I don't know what they've got to be scared of, but I suspect what worries them is that Press TV is reporting on things of interest to people that the main channels are ignoring, and you have to ask why that would be the case. Now we've got Asma on the line, who wants to talk to us about what's going on in the Maghreb, in Tunisia. Hello, Asma.
Oh, hi. But before I just say that, can I just say the only reason that BBC is jealous is because Press TV put on better programs, and they need to get their act together.
Well, that's right. And we should just confirm, you're not my sister, so you're not saying pleasant things because we're related, are you? Asma, thank you for coming on the show. What would you like to say?
Hello, I haven't finished yet.
Okay.
Yes, what I was saying about Tunisia, first of all, congratulations to the people of Tunisia for standing up for their rights and for making a change. And I just hope that more Arab countries follow the same example and give more respect, not just for themselves, but right across the world, because this is why we're having so many problems in the Middle East today, because nobody in the world respects these people because they're really scared to speak out. So it's nice to see. And for Saudi Arabia to take in someone like that who had no religious background, who persecuted Muslims, it just shows the Muslim world what they actually stand for, you know, and really it's appalling.
Well, I think, Asma, you make an interesting point. I mean, I think perhaps the scariest thing of all this is the amount of money that the president managed to take out of the country. £2.5 billion is an awful lot of money. And if you remember towards the end, his wife was running around with £45 million worth of gold bars. So I think the ordinary working people of Tunisia must be wondering what that's all about. I mean, we've got lots of problems in Britain, as many countries in Europe do, but you don't see the Queen running off with £2.5 billion into a foreign country. It just doesn't happen, and you have to wonder what really is going on in Tunisia. Is it about the extent of the family's corruption, really, rather than about maybe a religious or an economic agenda? It's interesting you have a take on what's been going on. That country's essentially been plundered, hasn't it, really?
Yeah, don't you think Saudi should do the decent thing and send him back along with the money to stand trial?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know his relationship with Saudi. What I do know is that, for example, the Swiss government has now frozen their bank accounts. I believe the French government has as well. So it may be that President Ben Ali might have to account for how he acquired this phenomenal wealth. I mean, it's more than a presidential pension, isn't it? I mean, let's face it, it's an awful lot of money. So I think he's going to have some hard questions to answer, certainly, about how he's conducted the government of Tunisia.
Well, Saudi normally chops people's hands off. So if they're actually standing up for justice, then they should really do something about it.
I think that's an interesting point you make, Asma, and I'm very glad you came on the show tonight to air your views. Thank you for calling. I've got to move on now to Ramzan, who's calling us from Wales, sunny Wales. Hello, Ramzan.
Hi there. Good evening to you.
Good evening. What would you like to say?
All right, fine. 2 points I want to make. Yeah. I'm really proud of the Tunisian people, what they are doing in their country. That's great.
Yeah.
And all over the Middle East, this is what it should be like, you know?
Yeah.
A revolution, because these are all puppet governments. They don't give a damn about their own people, right? All they're concerned about is pocketing their, lining their pockets, right?
Yeah.
With all the wealth of the country, and especially the Saudi government.
Yeah.
$60 billion of ammunition. What the hell they need it for? They can't even blink and drive a plane.
Yeah.
Fly a plane, never mind, or with all these second-hand ammunition that they are having from America.
And we're coming up to a break, but you had a view on Mr. Blair's position as
I
think.
Yes, I was going to just come to that.
Yeah.
Basically, what it is, Tony Blair is going to sit there, tell us all lies, right? First of all, you kill him, and then you make a religious organization, so you're trying to get all the people together. Mm. He's going to sit there, grin. He is the biggest liar I ever seen a politician in Britain, you know? I mean, he's a terrible guy.
Well, I think, Ramzan, it's interesting to hear views, and like you, I hope that Mr. Blair will come clean to the Chilcot inquiry. I wouldn't hold my breath on that, but it's good to hear your views on that. We're going to have to take a break from callers for now, but if you'd stay on the line, please, and we'll take some more calls after the break following the news. I'll be back in 4 minutes, so thanks for staying with me. Don't go anywhere, and see you straight after the news. Welcome back to Comment. I'm Derek Conway, and we've had some interesting calls and emails in the first half of the show tonight. We've been talking a little bit about the attack yesterday, the simultaneous attack by the BBC and ITV on both Ken Livingstone and on the station Press TV and how it conducts itself. Very odd that they should do that together. So a lot of people have called in about that and emailed. We've also been discussing the events in Tunisia where President Ben Ali's government fell and he was forced to flee at the moment to Saudi Arabia with £2.5 billion worth of his citizens' money, and we wonder what's going to be happening in Algeria and across the Maghreb as a result of that revolution, this Jasmine Revolution, as it's been called, going on in Tunisia. And we've also been discussing the ongoing saga of the Chilcot inquiry, which has asked Tony Blair to release the correspondence between him and President George Bush in 2002 and the build-up to the Iraqi invasion the following year. And Mr. Blair has declined to do that, and so everyone is wondering, what do these letters say that has to be kept a secret from this inquiry? He may yet have to give in. We'll wait and see. So if you've got a view on that or any other issue and you'd like to call comment, then we'd love to hear from you. Meanwhile, we've got Koresh on the line who's got his views, and I don't know what he wants to say, but hello, Koresh, thank you for calling.
Hello, good evening, Derek.
Good evening to you.
Two short comments to make.
Yeah.
One is about Press TV and the recent controversy over Ken Livingstone.
Yeah.
I think both of these issues, they represent diversity in our society, and Press TV has risen to be the voice of the voiceless. And I think Ken Livingstone's personality represents this, and we need personalities like this in our society. The second one is about Tunisia, and my question is that how come the dominant mainstream news channels in the past, I mean, channels like BBC or CNN or Fox News, they never reported about the oppression in Tunisia, and all of a sudden we hear this explosion of people in Tunisia and the revolution, and you see Ben Ali and his family running away to Saudi Arabia, another oppressed country. Whereas Iran is being demonized all the time.
Well, Koresh, I'm grateful for your call and for the views you express. I mean, just talking about the what you had to say on Ken initially, I'd be interested to hear why you think these two stations, BBC and ITV, simultaneously launched this attack on Press TV. This hasn't been a story that's been bubbling, came out of nowhere. And what do you think Press TV does that scares these other channels so much? I mean, certainly the viewership amongst young people has been growing. Do you think it's jealousy that causes this?
I think Press TV, in this dominance of channels like BBC that have years been reporting, Press TV has broken this monopoly and has risen and has revolutionized, like the revolution in Tunisia. And there are some channels that cannot put up with this, and they have to demonize Press TV.
It seems, Koresh, you know, I mean, Ken's been involved in this station for a couple of years now, and yet all of a sudden they choose to attack him, whether it's because he's running for mayor again, I don't know. Maybe it's politically based rather than necessarily aimed at Press TV, perhaps. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, the question is that we should ask ourselves, do we want to embrace diversity? Aren't we living in a multicultural society? Isn't our world going toward a multipolar world? Or we still want to have a monopoly over everything and dictate and accuse people of, I mean, other countries of being dictators, whereas our actions, I mean, BBC, represent an impatience towards alternative voices.
Yeah. Well, a good point you make, Koresh. It's about having a spectrum of opinion, isn't it? If people are watching Press TV, they know they're going to get a line which isn't the British government line or the status quo that you get if you're watching the state broadcast or the BBC. So I'm fascinated that you've managed to pick up on that. With regards to your views on Tunisia, is that an area, I mean, do you have family in that part of the world? Do you have a personal connection with the Maghreb?
I don't, but it's an interesting area, you know, North Africa. I follow the news all the time, and I do cultural research about that area. But I was wondering, how come I never heard anything about this level of oppression that people had and this amount of dissatisfaction? I mean, liberating governments or countries like America, they never reported. Instead, they exported their democracy into Iraq. You know, we saw what happened at the end. And we see Ben Ali at the end running away to Saudi Arabia. I mean, it's a big question for me.
Yeah, it's fascinating. I mean, obviously, Ben Ali had been in power for a long time, I think about 1987. He'd been there a long time, and that's the same situation next door in Algeria, where the government's been there for a long time, and maybe they just become indifferent to the needs of their people. But as you say, this hasn't really been covered much by the mainstream media in Europe at all. It all seemed to come as a bit of a surprise to them. Whereas I think some of the events that are happening in Libya, for example, are quite interesting, as maybe President Gaddafi is grooming his son to take over as president. So a lot of these regimes are going through a change at the moment, as is likely to happen in Egypt, where President Mubarak is due to announce whether he's running again for president. And again, he's someone who's been in power for nearly 30 years. So there's a lot of change going on at the moment in that part of the world, isn't there?
It is, it is. And it's good to focus, I think, on Saudi Arabia, because like Idi Amin, and, you know, just before that, we can see any dictator running away ends up in Saudi Arabia. And we can see the connection between USA government and the Saudi Arabian government. It's very good. They never criticize Saudi Arabia.
I think you make a very interesting point, Koresh. And what we know is President Ben Ali's got one tremendous pension he's managed to take with him. But thank you very much indeed for calling and for giving us your views tonight. It was very interesting. I've got to move on now to Sehel, who's calling us from London, who wants to talk about maybe Tunisia too and perhaps the Blair story. So, Sehel, thank you very much for coming on to comment. What would you like to say?
I'm funny regarding about this inquiry, okay?
Yeah, the Chilcot inquiry, yeah.
I wonder where it will end. Well, if they find Tony Blair guilty of lying or anything, what will happen? Are they trying to just fool us, for us to know? And everybody knows from the beginning that they went to war without the UN mandate, okay?
Yeah.
And now Tony Blair is refusing to give us this document or letter or whatever. So imagine if it's happened to any other Arab state or any other regime, then you see America or any other Western power using their fist to come on them heavy to produce those documents or whatever. So I don't know. I'm asking you particularly, where do you think this will end?
I think, Sahil, you raise an interesting point, because many people may not understand that the Chilcot inquiry was set up by the last Labour government. They appointed the members of it. It's not a court of law. They have no power to summon people. People don't give evidence under oath. They can't be prosecuted if they lie under oath or any of those things that would happen in a normal court. So what will come out of the Chilcot inquiry, some of us are a bit sceptical. There have been so many of these inquiries. And I think some of the evidence has been illuminating. For example, Tony Blair's Attorney General, the most senior law officer in the government, was saying that his views were completely disregarded. Now, in 30 years in politics, I've never known that happen in a government. It's inconceivable that in a past government, the chief law officer would say something to a prime minister and be ignored. So some nuggets of surprise have been coming out, but you're right to be sceptical about where it's going, Sutil, because there is no power behind this inquiry, whatever it decides.
The taxpayers' money doing all these things, because at the end of the day, we know exactly what will happen, the outcome of it. You see, Mr. Blair manipulated the whole thing and Mr. Bush to go to war without any proper mandate.
Well, I think you raise a good point. And what will come out of this, Sotil, at the end of it all, is that the public will know a bit more. We probably can't do anything about it, but maybe some of Tony Blair's grandstanding since he left office will be seen in a different light now as he travels the world accruing more and more millions. So I'm glad to have had your call. Thank you very much for raising some interesting points. I've got to move on now to Abdullah, who's calling us to talk maybe about what's happening in both Iraq and Tunisia. Hello, Abdullah.
Hi, good evening to
you. Good evening. Welcome to Comment. What would you like to say?
I want to say about this Shirkat inquiry about the Iraq war. I think this is a big favor that Tony Blair, George Bush, Rumsfeld, and Jose Maria Aznar, the Spanish Prime Minister, did it for the Zionist regime, for the Israeli regime to take over Iraq and destroy the Iraq, and they make a big crime in Iraq. And Iraq is still today, there was 100 wounded and 50 dead. And this is all coming the favor of Israel. And I think this is only this inquiry is a kind of entertainment. And it's not going to nowhere, because it is not helping human rights. It's not hinting international amnesty. It's nothing.
I think, Abdullah, you raise an interesting point about what the real motivation behind the invasion was. I mean, let's be frank about this. Saddam Hussein was a brutal, evil man. He did the most appalling things to the people of his own country. So I shed no tears that he's gone. But the truth is, the West, the British Parliament including, was misled by Tony Blair and by President George Bush about what was really going on. There's an interesting book about Vice President Cheney that you might want to read sometime, which looks behind some of the oil deals that were going on. And I often wonder if, in fact, the story of oil had a lot more to play behind the scenes than it did anything about democracy or doing good. So I think you're right to be a bit sceptical about what will come out of this inquiry, Abdullah. And I'm very grateful for your call. Thank you for that. We've got to move on now to Fungi, who's calling, who has a view about the BBC. Hello, Fungi.
Hello there, Derek. Nice to talk to you.
Welcome to Comment. Thanks for coming on. What would you like to say?
I just wanted to comment on the issue about the BBC.
Yeah.
About Ken Livingstone especially, and just adding on to what the gentleman said earlier about Zimbabwe, is that I've been writing to the BBC and ITV, you know, trying to get other views about what's happening in Zimbabwe, but they don't seem to really care about getting an objective view, you know, somebody with another opinion.
Yeah.
It's as if it's almost blatant that they're trying to push an agenda, you know, when it comes to the political situation with the president, and especially with Morgan Tsvangirai clearly taking his side. And it's so disheartening, and it only takes that for people to see that the news agencies such as the BBC, ITN, are all very, there is no distinction between them. They work together, and it's almost as if they're a propaganda machine for the UK government. And likewise, I think across the pond in the USA, it would be the same with some news networks. And I'm just glad for Press TV, really, that we can actually ring up and express our views. And I'd be very grateful if at some point you would actually tackle the issue about Zimbabwe, because, I mean, it's actually in the limelight, and it's an example. It's actually out there as the pinnacle of what happens when corrupt governments like the USA and the UK are actually using this propaganda machine to let fool people into believing that what they're doing is in the name of justice and democracy.
I think you make some fascinating points. I mean, I think you're right. I mean, I don't know what the BBC is so scared of, but they clearly don't like the competition they're getting from some of the other stations, newer stations like Press TV, because they're filling a gap. If people want to watch Press TV, they are going to get news that they won't find on the BBC, as you've experienced yourself. I'm interested what you say about Zimbabwe. I mean, do you think, I mean, clearly President Mugabe's, he's about 84, 85 now, so he's getting on a bit. I mean, how long do you think this farce is going to run on for?
In your question, because I believe that age, especially in African culture, doesn't really doesn't play a big role in our society in terms of depleting somebody's know-how or what they can contribute to a political system or a country system. In fact, the opposite is actually true, in that when people are older, when we have wise older leaders, things tend to progress in communities and in politics. President Robert Mugabe, I actually, being a level-headed person, reasonably intelligent, I think, that he's a man who stands by his principles, and principles that, by and large, a lot of Africans right down on the ground actually agree with, because for such a long time we have been living, even though colonialism has long gone, and, you know, people can accuse us of singing the same song about colonialism, it still actually exists. We can see it over and over again in countries where America and Britain have a hand in, and Israel for that matter, that they're trying to recolonize Africans in other means, you know, not so much in the, on the face of it as they did before in the years, you know, in tens of years ago.
Yeah.
But now they go in with another route, you know, to create this...
I mean, Fugia, I must tell you, I'm not sure I share your perceptions about President Mugabe. I mean, the Rhodesian economy could be so successful. I mean, just geographically, geologically as well. It's such a wonderful country that the state of the economy, it's heart-rending that a country that otherwise could be feeding its people and doing very well is in such a state, and it's well known. I mean, he has, you know, many billions tucked away abroad as well. I don't think President Mugabe is necessarily the best example of how to run a country, in all fairness.
Oh,
but
I terribly disagree with you there.
Yeah.
Because the problems that Zimbabwe experiences stem from the fact that the British had a hand in our country and our country system. During the days of Rhodesia, the economy catered for a few white people, and the majority of the population had a raw deal. And then only 20 years ago, it is, a few years, over 20 years ago, this is what happened. And of course now, the economy has to cater for a larger population, trying to indigenize its natives. And I don't think that there's anything wrong with that. You see, I mean, in the UK, there are laws here that people, they put a limit on the number of people who come here to access benefits, to access healthcare, to access education. And I don't think that there would be a problem, you know, in the same situation,
sure,
if it happens in Zimbabwe, that land is going to the majority and a white person who has three or four farms is to give back one.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, I don't see anything that's wrong with that.
Well, Fungi, I'm glad you've had a chance to express your view, although, as I say, I clearly don't share your view about President Mugabe, but it's good that we can have this difference opinion. That's the good thing about comment, that we don't say what you've got to say, and we like to hear a diverse opinion, and you've expressed that very well tonight. I'm very grateful to you for coming on the show. I have to move on now to Christina, who's calling from Portugal, who wants to talk about an entry visa. I'm not sure what this is about, but hello, Christina.
Hello, Derek. Yes, I'd like to talk about the Reverend Terry Jones.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
And he's been apparently refused entry into Britain to hold his meeting in Milton Keynes.
A very strange man, yes. Are you a fan of his?
No, and I'm just wondering whether this is not just added to his sort of self-aggrandization.
Yeah.
You know, because he's getting publicity. If they'd have just let him go along and see half a dozen people in a meeting round the concrete cows.
Yeah. I think, Christine, in case some of our viewers don't know who you're talking about, this is this rather bizarre cleric in America who wanted to burn the Holy Quran as a demonstration, and he's got a lot of publicity, but he's clearly a very strange individual when you watch him being interviewed.
Yeah, and I mean, I must say, it was very, really rather wise, but I didn't to not allow him in. But, you know, has it just sort of given him a bit more extra publicity?
Well, I think, you know, in Britain, we tend to pride ourselves on having, you know, free and open debate and free opinions and all the rest of it. But if someone is coming into Britain specifically to stir up hatred and trouble, then I think the government has to take a view about whether you really want somebody like that. Yeah, I think Terry Jones is not preaching a good message. Whether you're a Muslim or a Christian or a Jew, whatever you are, then all of those religions are peaceful. So I'm not sorry to see Terry Jones have to stay in America. But Christina in Portugal, thank you very much for calling. We've got time for a couple of quick emails. If we just see who's been emailing us tonight. Now, what's this from? Who's this from? This is from Madge from sunny Rochdale in the northwest of England. The BBC has no right to comment on Press TV. That's why we have Ofcom. If anyone is biased, it's got to be the BBC, especially against the Palestinians. The rise of Islamophobia through the media is disturbing. Press TV is a valuable alternative to other media, in my view. Well, Madge, thank you very much for sending that in. I think you're right. Interestingly, a member of the cabinet is making a speech tomorrow about this rise of Islamophobia and this fear of members of the Muslim community in Britain, which is a very substantial community and a peace-loving community as well, and that the mainstream media seems to want to portray that as a danger all the time. So you're right to raise this. And we've got another email coming in from... Now, who is this from? This is from Caroline, who wants to say that what struck me was that both the BBC and ITV just took it as a given that Ken shouldn't appear on Press TV. Also, I know that your studios are in West London. Isn't it weird that they both used a West London MP to attack Ken Livingstone and also the Zionist Federation? Given the revelations in WikiLeaks about the British government trying to silence you, it just seems like the BBC and ITV attack itself was the plan, rather than simply realising that Ken presents for Press TV and being shocked by it. Well, I think, Caroline, that's an interesting point. And I can tell you on the Epilogue show, which they criticised Ken about yesterday, and which I also co-present, whenever we've had books about issues to do with Israel, we always approach people who are in favour of Zionism and in favour of the State of Israel to come on and put an alternative view. This is not about closing down opinion, as you'll have seen on comment tonight. Now, we've got Rita on the line, who's calling us from Liverpool. Hello, Rita.
Hello, Derek. First of all, I'd just like to talk about the attack by the BBC.
Yeah.
I'd like to say to the BBC, my father fought the Second World War for freedom of speech, amongst other things, free from fascism and dictatorship.
Yeah.
The BBC, it's because Press TV is a fantastic professional station with fantastic debates, fantastic reports and documentaries, and because they're showing us what's going on in Gaza, the drone attacks killing all the children, and there's Obama speaking about the 9-year-old girl who was shot in America last week, as yeah. bad, as terrible as it was. But there's thousands of children being bombed by his orders on the drones. Iran, because the Press TV show us Iran is not got a nuclear bomb. They're showing us all the poverty in America. It's like a third world country. And Tony Blair, I think he's an absolute disgrace. He'll thrive in this Chilcot inquiry. He loves the limelight. He was very brave with other people's sons. He didn't send his own sons to die on a pack of lies. He is not fit. My father fought for this country, and the likes of Tony Blair has ruined it and turned it into a dictatorship, complicit yeah. with the BBC.
Rita, you've made your views very strong, and I think you're right about Tony Blair just loving the limelight, and it's good to have had you on the show. We're getting towards the end of the show yet, and I want to thank Rita for her strong opinions, and we just have time, hopefully, to get Orang on, who's calling us from London, before we end tonight. Hello, Orang.
Yes, hello, good evening.
Good evening. What would you like to say on comment right at the tail end of the show?
Yes, thank you. Obviously, I won't just say I'm not shocked at all about BBC and ITV, because this was also on newspapers.
Yeah.
It was on Evening Standard, actually.
In the Evening Standard, you're right.
Yes.
Yeah.
So, obviously, this must be something much bigger, because recently WikiLeaks had also a subject regarding the Press TV. And the discussion was how they can stop Press TV in UK.
Yeah.
So that is something I thought I should point out.
Well, I think you're right to be very sceptical about what the agenda is, Orang, and Press TV offers another view. People aren't forced to watch the programme. They can pick and choose as they wish, and the fact that so many people are tuning into Press TV has clearly got the BBC and ITV rattled. So I'm glad that you've seen through that, and I know Ken will be very grateful for what you said. Did you have anything else you wanted to add?
That's all. Thank you.
That's all. Well, I'd like to thank Orang for coming on. We've got Abdul waiting. I'm not sure if we can get you on. Abdul, very quickly, what would you like to say?
Hello.
Hello.
Yeah, hi. Basically, I just wanted to say that it's basically a big conspiracy going on in the world with America and Britain actually trying to tell us to have democracy like Pakistan. Believe me, I can tell you, I was born and bred in Pakistan, and it's a very peaceful country. There's still a lot of peace in places like Kashmir and that. How come since 7/11 and since America started to step into Pakistan, gone and taken all...
Abdul, thank you for calling. We just got you in at the end. You got your views. That's it for tonight's show. I'm grateful to all of you who called and sent in your messages, and I'm sorry if we couldn't get in all the callers. But until next week and another edition of Comment, thanks for watching. Goodbye.
Hello, just comment your name and the number, and just make sure the your television volume is set to 0.
Zero. Can you spell your name for me?
Yeah, I know. You'll be directly put through this phone number and then we'll